John Silber, former Boston University president and one-time Massachusetts gubernatorial candidate, died today at the age of 86.
During his tenure, Silber helped transform BU from a regional commuter school to a world-class research institution. He dramatically increased its endowment and brought well-known faculty, such as Nobel Prize winner Elie Wiesel, to the university.
But it was his frank manner and provocative views for which many will remember him. Political observers believe that his famous Silber shockers cost him the governorship. Here he is with journalist Natalie Jacobson when he was running for governor in 1990.
What do you see as your strength, and if you will, if you think you have one, a weakness?
I think that my strength is competence, and my strength is honesty.
Okay, and your weakness?
And I think that I'll let you find the weakness. I don't have to go around telling you what's wrong with me.
Silber lost to William Weld, but in his concession speech, John Silber remained true to form.
Stay involved, speak up for the children, and no matter what, shoot straight.
John Wessling worked closely with John Silber at BU for many years. He served as Silber's assistant, then provost, and eventually succeeded him as president of the university, serving from 1996 to 2002. And President Wessling, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
So you've been described as John Silber's protege. Tell us how you will remember him.
As a very inspiring, very complicated, very interesting, very energetic, remarkable personality. He was a man who brought passion and commitment to everything that he did. He was an intellectual in the purest sense of that term. He believed that ideas were important, that ideas counted, that they were worth fighting about and fighting for. He was a remarkable college president who took Boston University and transformed it and who made major contributions to the intellectual life of our era. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about that transformation of BU, because as you suggest, he did a lot during his 25 years there. Remind us what he accomplished, how BU changed during his tenure.
It became a nationally recognized center of education and research of the highest quality. John Silber was involved in every aspect of that transformation, from the most serious and profoundest issues of academic standards and building the faculty and providing the essential and very expensive and complex infrastructure that is required for research, particularly in the sciences, down to the tiniest detail. He believed, for example, that the campus of Boston University should be as neat and clean as possible, that it reflected in some sense the spirit of the institution. So on his daily walks to work, he would note if there were places where there was litter that hadn't been cleaned up or if there were signs of deferred maintenance. And by the time he got to his office, he'd made his little list and he'd ring up the people in the buildings and grounds department and give them their agenda for the day.
President Wessling, when he stepped down as president, he told the Boston Globe that his proudest accomplishment at BU was, quote, to declare that there is one university in the country with no interest in intellectual fads, in following propaganda and ideology. That sounds like John Silber, and I'm just wondering if what that quote says to you about him.
If I had to pick one thing that John Silber gave to Boston University, it was a sense of intellectual self-confidence. He had a visionary sense that Boston University had the potential to become one of the great universities of the world, and that kind of profound belief, it's infectious. And in fact, most of us caught the bug from John.
President Wessling, it's also fair to say that Dr. Silber was controversial. He was known for being pugnacious, for shaking things up. That same Boston Globe obit that I was quoting from a moment ago reminds us that he once referred to the English department, for example, as a damn matriarchy. So this is part of his legacy as well. He could be sharp-tongued. He could be controversial. But I gather that that served him well in this capacity as a university president.
I think that some of what has passed into mythology as Silber Shockers reflected also John's love of language, his interest in putting things in a pithy, in a dramatic way that would focus attention on them. I think the quotation about damn matriarchy was really intended in that sense, but it is certainly true that in this era, college presidents have tended to be conciliators, people who have avoided controversy, who see themselves mostly as professional managers of complicated organizations, and rather less as public intellectuals, as leaders of academic and intellectual discourse. John did not shy away from that aspect of academic leadership. In fact, he saw it as job one. He reveled in it. He was a philosopher, and philosophers thrive on argument.
And speaking of not shying away from controversy, I think you have a pretty good story to tell where you were leaving with him and facing the prospect of encountering a group of students who were demonstrating over various issues. This was in the early 70s. Can you tell us what happened there?
It was one of those classical 60s, 70s demos with signs and people chanting and singing and hooting and hollering. And as we were getting ready to leave, I said, you know, why don't we just go down to the basement and out the back way and we'll avoid all this. And he stopped me and said, no, wait, no, no, no. That's not what they pay me for. It's not the job of a college president to avoid confrontation. We are going to go out the front door, and we will walk back to the office, and I will listen to what they have to say, but I'm also going to tell them what I think, and we will use this as an occasion to demonstrate who we are and what we stand for.
President Wessling, I can't let you go without asking you just a little bit about his venture into politics. He ran for governor in 1990 as the Democrat against Republican William Weld. For much of that campaign, he led Weld in the polling, but as you suggested earlier, he became known for some of those off-the-cuff comments that became known as Silber Shockers. He lost that race. What did you make of his run for governor?
It was one of the most interesting, energizing political campaigns, not just in Massachusetts, but in American politics in recent times. John Silber thought it would be shameful to avoid controversial issues, that it would be shameful if he were to spin his language so that he might, by sleight of hand, manage to avoid actually taking a position. His view was that if you were throwing your hat in the ring and putting yourself forward as somebody who was prepared to lead, you owed the voters a true and full account of what you believed and the direction in which you intended to go. And your characterization of some of those things as off the cuff is actually not quite right. They were John Silber's beliefs, his opinions, and he thought that the important thing was to tell the truth and shame the devil. He was not going to avoid those controversies. He was going to accept them and let the chips fall where they may. Ultimately, you know, it may be that American politics in our era is just not ready for that kind of utter and complete candor.
I think you're right about that.
I found it refreshing.
I think my description of it being off the cuff was more a nod to the way modern campaigns are run. And rarely do you have a candidate who speaks in such an unscripted way. And I think in the one sense, it served his sort of intellectual mission well, but maybe it suggests that he wasn't cut out for politics in this era.
Well, you may be right. But in any event, it made for pretty exciting 7 or 8 months of Massachusetts politics.
That's for sure. President Wessling, many thanks for talking to us today. We're very, very grateful.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Joining us now is Marjorie Claproot. She's a former radio talk show host on WRKO. Before that, she was a former Democratic state rep and a candidate for lieutenant governor of Massachusetts who ran on the ticket with John Silber. Marjorie, thanks for joining us. Great to have you.
Thank you, Anthony. Good to be here. Sorry that it's for this occasion. It's a sad day for all of us.
Well, indeed. We just spoke to President John Wessling about John Silber's bid for governor. You saw that up close, obviously, as his running mate. How do you remember him?
Oh, gosh, how much time do we have? brilliant, unyielding, very, very high standard bearer, judgmental and unwilling to grasp anything, including a run for governor, on anything but his own terms. So I think of John Silber as the one that got away for Massachusetts, honestly. He would have made a great governor, despite the Silber shockers.
Well, that's the thing. He might, you know, we were just talking to John Wessling, and one of the points he made was that those Silber shockers were sort of poorly named in that they probably represented an intellect that somehow just couldn't be contained within the way that the political system required it to be contained.
I mean, that's so true. Look, John Silber, again, did everything by his own rules and was so honest to the core. The expression to a fault was truly made for John Silber. And so the Silber shockers were two things in my memory that drew me to reluctantly embrace him as a mentor. One was that he insisted on confrontation, which is not typical for a political candidate. And I'm a pretty honest person myself. I was known, you know, if Clapperoot's got it in her head or her heart, it falls out of her mouth. So I'm used to that candor. What I wasn't used to was taking on a confrontation that you didn't have to, that just tended to alienate a lot of friends in the media, folks in the Democratic Party, and most importantly, voters.
Well, of course, John Silber was a political outsider for a good deal of the campaign.
Yeah.
That was his strength.
Yeah.
You had a background in the Democratic Party. Did you say to him sometimes, John, this is the way it's done. You know, you got to cool it.
Oh, some of my favorite memories are head-to-heads that I had with John. I think that's my second point was, reluctantly, I won him over as well. He thought I was just a lefty, bra-burning feminist pinko. It was just, you know, seriously, dead weight on his campaign. He came around to understand that we were both good for each other. Yes, within the Democratic Party, John was not just someone who jumped in feet first, had never paid his dues. You know, he had never run for anything, comes out of the presidency of BU. Clearly, everyone's intellectual superior. And if you didn't know it, he would tell you that. So it took a while for the Democratic leadership to understand that John was an asset. It took me a while, too. But make no mistake, since the moment that we all got to know the true John Silber, we were all so much richer for that. And he truly would have made a great governor.
Marjorie Clapperoot is a former Democratic state rep. She was the candidate for lieutenant governor who ran on the ticket with John Silber. Marjorie Clapperoot, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Send us your memories of John Silber's run for the governorship or for his time at BU at radioboston.org. Coming up, Farm Sanctuary co-founder Gene Bauer. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.